There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all here on this Tuesday, and lots to do with the next couple of hours. Quick reminder, or a first time, if you're a first time listener, how to get in touch with us. We make it, I think, pretty easy. A good old fashioned telephone call at 343-0106. Also, same number for the text line, 251-343-0106. The FM Talk 106.5 app. It's like one of those puppies in the commercials you see about adopting animals, and you go, oh my gosh, look, I got to have that puppy. It's looking at you just like that. It's in the in Google Play if you're an Android user, or the App Store if you use iOS. It's sitting there. It's named FM Talk 106.5. You'll see our logo if you search it. It's free. You stream the station on there. It gives you access to all our social media feeds with breaking news, show schedules on there, also traffic maps, weather information, all that good stuff. Our podcast posts there first before anywhere else through the app. And so you can get them and listen to them right there and share them from there and do all that good stuff. But in addition, on the bottom of the main screen there, there's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, it lets you record a message and emails it here to the show, and I can play it back on the show. All right, so a lot to do on today's show. Later on in the show, we will take a look again at the situation in Iran. We were going to talk about it yesterday. It kind of ran out of time. We'll get to that story. Also coming up, April Marie Fogle joins us in the second hour. And I'm going to talk about Juneteenth. State holiday in Alabama this year. That discussion comes up every year. I think Governor Ivey, since she's been in office, has brought that up. And we'll do my favorite thing, where we look through the state holidays as they are and what might be added to the mix, and get a conversation going on that. Oh, and you know, I'll bring our next guest on here, too, to have reaction to this. AL2 candidate in the general, Republican candidate, Caroline Dobson, joining us. And good to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. Here's what I'm about to unveil. So the news story running today, that South Korea is banning what they call a viral North Korean propaganda video. I mean, this is what, like, I think NBC reported it that way. It's viral because it's ridiculously funny. Like all the stuff that comes out of North Korea, like, we're so great, and here's all our missiles. This one, they're all cheering and singing a song about their great leader and how fantastic, fantastic Un is. But South Korea's banned it because I think they think it's going to turn the minds of the people in South Korea to want to, I guess, defect to North Korea. Yeah. So there you go. There's international news as it stands. They're banning the viral Kim Jong-un video.
Yeah, I can't imagine that has gained much credibility or following, but, I could be wrong.
Yeah, so it's out there, certainly. So be prepared, right, in realpolitik for the viral video from Kim Jong-un. All right, well, good to talk to you. It's been a while. I know that from watching social media and listening to stories, you have not, there's no moss growing on that rock. You have been busy campaigning in AL2.
Yes, that's right. I've made a quick jaunt up to Washington, D.C., and Senator Britt, along with the Alabama Republican delegation, very kindly hosted a reception, to get folks nationally engaged about this race, because, again, I think the mainstream media back last fall was just so quick to categorize this as a blue seat. So actually, it's now being characterized by Republicans as a pickup, even though it is an existing, District 2 is a Republican seat, just because, again, the original narrative had been that this was unquestionably going to be won by a Democrat. So nationally, I think Republicans are really excited about, the likelihood of keeping this seat Republican, and I'm doing all I can on the ground to make that happen. Last week was particularly special, National Police Week, so got to meet with several members of our law enforcement. You know, one of the most touching experiences of the week was I got to participate in a law enforcement appreciation dinner in Troy that just started organically over a decade ago, I think, in someone's barn, and now has expanded. I mean, there are almost 400 people there, but the community comes together just to tell law enforcement and first responders. So everyone from Troy Police, Sheriff's Office, State Troopers, firefighters, just tell them thank you. It was truly, truly amazing, and just an example of private citizens coming together to thank those who keep us safe and those who often have a thankless job, especially in this day and age.
Let me ask this question. Being up in Washington and realizing that this is a seat, weird to say, in play, because, of course, the old AL2 was Republican, but the new AL2 in play, not that blue seat. I know that there's going to be a lot of outside influence and money coming in on the side of your opponent, the Democrat, figures in this. What are you hearing from when you go up there? Are they ready to come to AL2 and support you? I mean, beyond just the grassroots people?
Yes, yes. Now, they're very excited about this race and excited about our momentum, too. You know, the fact that we have a very well-organized, effective, energized state party, that's also huge. And the fact that this is really one of the few, I mean, certainly on the county levels, there are some contested general election races, and those are incredibly important. And our campaign is working. You know, we want to join forces because, again, I think it's going to take all of us to get voters registered and get them motivated. But as far as, you know, statewide races, you know, there really aren't that many contested general election races in the state. So I'm very, very grateful to have had wonderful discussions with Chairman Wall and his team. But again, you know, there are several factors, you know, pointing to why not only the RNC and the NRCC, but Republicans nationally should be looking at this race. We've got incredible momentum, and again, kind of have the full force of the state party that's going to be really focused on this district. And I've been so humbled by folks from Huntsville down to Baldwin County, folks outside the district that want to come door knock and sign wave and get folks registered. So, you know, this is there's going to be a lot of statewide attention and you know, folks that want to volunteer and have the experience of working in a contested race have it in this district. And it's not going to be kind of sharing forces or resources with any other, you know, federal race this cycle. Also, what's really attractive, I think, to the RNC and NRCC is the fact that this is, you know, a relatively inexpensive media market. You know, when it comes to me, I mean, it all seems really expensive, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the other swing House races are in California or Pennsylvania, where a week of TV is upwards of $2 million, whereas here in District 2, a week of TV in Mobile is $120,000, Montgomery $40,000. So, you know, national monies go a lot further here in this district.
And we can give you a lot more radio for $120,000.
So. Exactly. No, exactly. Yeah, no, just using one one medium as an indicator. But no, the national party is really excited about this race. We've had a lot of positive meetings. You know, they have said that kind of another one of their metrics for how involved they get is how much the candidate can raise in state before the end of the second quarter. So that's also a focus of mine over the next 6 weeks is just to try to kind of circle the wagons. And, you know, folks have been so gracious and generous. So much of this district is small towns and rural communities. You know, we don't have like huge metro area. I mean, Mobile is certainly a large metro area, but still, you know, we don't have Birmingham or Huntsville. I've been very grateful for the support I've received and trying to keep at it. That's the least fun part of campaigning.
Yeah.
But trying to have a really strong second quarter report so that, the RNC will really jump in with both feet in this race.
How does it work? I don't know if you can tell us, but I like to pull back the curtain. How much you said about the fundraising done in district? Is it a match? Is it a percentage? Is it, or you just have to cross a threshold? Then they think about bringing outside money in, or how do they do that?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, I think a lot of it depends. You know, certainly they aren't. You know, again, for instance, Kevin McCarthy's seat that's now open. I mean, you know, it's all relative to the district and kind of what the population demographics are. You know, so I'm not expected to necessarily raise as much as, I don't think it's a set number, but okay. Just showing, you know, kind of what I can bring in. And again, as you know, and as, you know, a lot of your listeners know, in federal races, it's very limited to, as far as how much an individual can give to a campaign. So it really is a grassroots effort. It's large donations, but also small donations. And so again, I think, you know, just showing not only the overall number, but the as far as the dollar figure, but also the number of individuals who have given is also indicative of the support that I have. And then that will further signal to the RNC and NRCC that I do have widespread support. Folks in state are watching this race. We are encouraged and energized, and we are fighting to keep this seat Republican.
Okay, so they're trying to make a decision. Is this a worthwhile candidate to back? I mean, that's a fair,
exactly.
Okay, that's
exactly.
a fair thing for them to look at. And the other part of it, I've seen this in the past. It's not been, I think, in congressional, but other elections, when I've seen forces from outside Alabama come to bear, they kind of, not in all cases, in some cases have tried to change the message, you know, like even on the conservative mm-hmm. side, I hear it and it hits about 70%, not 100%. I mean, do you get that from them? Or are they saying, hey, keep doing what you're doing? Or what do you hear when they come in and say, hey, we're going to come in, this is real important to us, but you should be talking about X?
You know, fortunately, I haven't had any of that, attempt to kind of change the narrative. And I think part of that, too, is just kind of the uniqueness of this district. You know, we have a very strong defense presence in this district. We have mm-hmm. some really significant infrastructure needs. As we've discussed before, and we absolutely have a spending problem with our government. And, you know, one of my goals is to go up to Washington and work hard to balance the budget and really cut down on this excessive spending. At the same time, you know, we do have the port and we have the bridge and we have Maxwell Air Force Base, and we do have, some very much needs in the district that would require funding and support. And so it's just a unique district in that respect. Also, the fact that, you know, this is outside of Montgomery and Mobile, it's primarily a rural district. You have a lot of folks that are in desperate need of a passage of a farm bill. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a little bit, you know, I think what's also interesting about this district, you know, I think that the Democrats, really the only hook that they feel that they have on Republicans right now, is on the social issue front. And in this, in District 2, I would say that the Democrats are by and large a little more socially conservative than Democrats throughout, the rest of the nation. You know, I think most of the Democrats in District 2 would also agree that they don't want boys and girls sports, you know, and that, you know, they are generally God-fearing, church-going Democrats mm-hmm. in District 2, which is, again, a little bit different than some of these other swing districts. And then I saw recently, I guess, I want to say the Wall Street Journal ran a poll showing that Biden polled highest with the nuns, N-O-N-E, people that don't believe in any religion. But he is polling lower with Democrats of faith, which makes sense when you name Easter Transgender Awareness Day, you know.
Right.
It's interesting to see that. And again, I think that's another reason, you know, the only ground Democrats feel they have is on social issues, that may not be as compelling in this race.
Yeah, you know what? It's like you read my questions list here, because that was the final question. Because I was wondering, in this at play, this jump ball, this purple district, where do you make your case to people? I mean, you got to make sure your Republicans turn out, but where do you make your case to the independents or those Democrats that, like you said, when you look at the polling around, are nonplussed with their president? How do you make, you know, them when they show up, maybe they're not going to vote for Biden, but they're going to vote for you here at home? So, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, that you have a plan there with the, you know, the social issue. I think you're right. I think AL2, you compared it to any other at-play district in the country, might be the most socially conservative probably out of all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think it all boils down to security and prosperity. I mean, our country needs to be secure. Our communities need to be safer. You know, I'm calling in from Montgomery, and here in Montgomery, just in the past few months, crime has increased exponentially just within the past 5 years. The police force has decreased by about 200 officers. So, you know, and again, you know, these aren't, that doesn't boil down to a heavily partisan issue. You know, it's, we've got to secure our border. We've got to get control of the fentanyl crisis. We've got to treat our law enforcement like heroes. And then we've got to really fight and combat the regulatory state so that businesses, but especially small businesses, can thrive and prosper and be started. And that benefits all Alabamians in the 2nd Congressional District. I don't care what you consider yourself, but, you know, when the barrier to starting a business is so high due to taxes, regulation, insurance costs that have been driven high because of over regulation, then, you know, that's hurting everyone. And, you know, that's, again, I've got two daughters that I'm raising here in this district, and I'm running to fight for Alabama families, you know, wherever they are in this district and whatever they consider themselves politically, because we are only going to be able to move forward when our kids have opportunities here, not when they're leaving to go to Birmingham, Atlanta, and Nashville, because that's where the jobs are.
Caroline Dobson, AL2 Republican candidate. As we wrap up here, too, Mike asking, I was going to ask where we get more information, but he's specifically asking, where can he get your yard signs? Where can he get those, pick up yard signs for himself?
Oh, great. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. So my website is Dobson for Congress, DobsonForCongress.com. And there's a field that you can send a message. So if you'll just send a message, then we can, you know, with your address, then we can send, and how many yard signs you'd like, and we can get those to you.
All right. So a lot of people will pick it up on that. So go to the website for everything, and we'll get you back on the show soon. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Have a good afternoon.
All right. You too. Caroline Dobson, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Yeah, so it's coming up, right? It's kind of a different thing in a... I think we've talked about this in the past. I was an early complainer about the redrawn district. I do not think it respects the idea of communities of interest, right? I think it fails that very much so. And the idea that it's about minorities, about black Alabamians versus it being about Democrat votes. Come on, it's about Democrat votes. That's where it is. At the same time, from a mercenary perspective, it's something that keeps us talking about an election past the primary. And now we have something that there's some subtlety to it, right? Going in, you've got Shamari Figures, who's got to, you know, motivate Democrats to come out and vote when they may not be very motivated by Joe Biden. President Biden might not be motivated to get out. So you got to motivate them to come out. And if you want to try to appeal to independents, you got to figure out what those things are that are away from the very left portion of the Democrats, right? The far progressive portion. Same thing for Caroline Dobson. What do you do? I mean, you've got to motivate the Republicans, which I don't think will be a problem. I think they'll turn out for Trump. At the same time, how do you convince, because it was so very close, the numbers and the turnouts in the primary, how do you convince some Democrats that may be looking at this now going, gosh, I see the way it's trended since that last vote, and I just don't know if the Democrats are going to be the right people to do it in this cycle. They may vote Democrat in the future, or, you know, maybe independent out there. So it is, it's in play. I think that's the fairest way to say it. It is in play. All right, let me grab some text here from the text line. All right, more people asking about the yard signs. Yeah, just go to her. Go to her website and get them there. I don't know. It's I don't know if there's a local office. She didn't say. We can look at that if you're with the Dobson campaign and you know you've got like a local office where people can pull up and just pick up the signs. Let me know. You can text us or send me an email, Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. If you've got the signs, the people want the signs, tell us how to get them. All right, there we go. Coming back, a lot to talk about internationally. I mentioned it at the beginning with Caroline Dobson. This video that's out, I love this story. I love this story because it is the South Koreans now are saying, as we're often talking about what's done with censorship out there, limiting other opinions, you know, don't let them talk. Well, South Korea is saying that basically they banned what they're calling it's a viral North Korean propaganda video. I think the South Koreans aren't realizing it's gone viral because it's the stuff that makes you laugh coming out of North Korea. But we'll talk about that, maybe play some of it. I think it's worth playing some of the audio from it, and I'll do the translation from Korean. Do that when we come back. You don't want to miss it. It's quality stuff. And we'll link it up on the Twitter feed, too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. I'd like to have you along on this Tuesday. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and I know you've been out getting inventory, and those trucks are coming in. Let's talk about what's on the lot.
Well, Sean, we've got 20 trucks on the lot. Anything from full size four wheel drive, 3/4 ton diesels, all the way down to small Nissan Frontiers. We've got a GMC Canyon on the ground, crew cab. Really nice truck. So we've got a great selection of trucks right now.
What about financing? How's it looking? Because people, you know, talk financing a lot right now and say, oh gosh, I don't know if I want to check this out.
It's good. You know, we need people to bring us on their buy here, pay here program, bring us proof of income, proof of residence, and they need a little bit of a down payment, of course. We'll work with them on that. And then we've got, you know, the people that go through the credit unions, we've got, you know, as low as 6%. So we've got financing from one end all the way to the extreme other end.
All right. Tell folks how to find you. Look at that inventory of trucks and all the other vehicles.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And, yeah, we'll get to the text and all that. But just international news. Although the next hour we can talk Iran as well. NBC News says South Korea bans viral North Korea propaganda video praising Kim Jong-un. So the country's media regulator, just think about this. Now, we support them. They're democracy adjacent. They've got a media regulator that can talk about what you can and can't see on their very fast internet in Korea. Said the music video titled Friendly Father, which has become an unlikely hit on TikTok. Well, there you go. Chinese are promoting it. Idolized and glorified North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. So South Korea is saying, National Security Act blocking access to North Korean government websites and to restrict media exposure to the efforts of Kim's autocratic regime to praise, incite, or propagate its activities. And then thank you. NBC goes on and says the two Koreas are technically still in a war. Of course they are. We got that. Let's get to the fun stuff. So this video out that was put out here recently by North Korea, and that's not new either. So North Korea puts out these videos. I tend to, when I hear they're out, I go to find them because they amuse me greatly. Often they're missiles being shot and, you know, tanks rolling by and a song being sung in the back and how great it is. And so this is another one. This is not the military, but this is like a you got it kind of. This is a people all around North Korea that I guess these people are fed enough. They chubbied them up enough which doesn't make them chubby, makes them just normal size, to be in the video. And so the video is highly amusing. I put it on the X or the Twitter feed for us. I'll play a little bit of it. Let's roll a little bit of this here. There we go. Let's see. Press that button and that button. And can we have audio on the North Korean hype video? Oh, yeah. Okay. People are jumping up and down, waving North Korean flags, throwing flowers in there. There's grandma. She's having a great time. The kids are having a great time. Here comes. Stop for a second. They're Philharmonic that's playing in the background. They show them, and they're really into it. They look like they're at a rock show. They're headbanging, but they're all wearing, of course, North Korean military uniforms while playing the cello and other instruments. All right, so let's go back to it, and I will tell you what the words say, because not because I speak Korean, but they have a translation here. Here we go. It says, "Let's sing of Kim Jong-un, our great leader." Okay, they're singing. They're happy. "Let's boast of Kim Jong-un, our friendly father." Okay, friendly father. Rocking out here, good. And there's some graphics here in Korean that I can't read. Pretty woman is spinning around, kind of like a Cinderella thing. She's in a white pantsuit. She seems to be having fun. And then she adds in, so Kim Jong-un is warm-hearted like your mother. Mm-hmm. Benevolent like your father. Benevolent is what he is. He is holding his 10 million children in his arms and taking care of all of us with his heart. At this point, it shows Kim Jong-un hugging and kissing babies. Like, their babies are lined up to be like Santa. Like, he's in a chair, and here come the babies to get their picture made with Un. Okay, let's sing to our great leader, Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Let's boast of him. He's our friendly father. There's the fighter pilots. They're happy. There's the sailors, hoping they don't get blown out of the water. We all trust and follow him with one heart, our friendly father. Okay, there they are. There's workers in the factory. They're happy. There's some more workers in the factory. They're happy. Says, I love the love you give me is like the sea. So the sea is a sea of love coming from Un. Okay. It's like the sky, and he's always at your side. Okay, so there's a little bit. You get the vibe of the video. You can go watch it. Dalton pointed out when I was watching this earlier, he said that's like the intro scene to the interview, the Seth Rogen movie that got so much flack, right, from North Korea. It looks like that. You got to go watch this. It's just interesting that it's gone. I can tell you right now without going, it's gone viral because it's ridiculousness. It's comedic ridiculousness where this is the fun of another culture, right? That maybe is not so cynical and not so media savvy. This video comes out of North Korea. They say, here's our hype video, man. This is really going to get them. I think it's gone viral because it's ridiculous. It's very funny because everybody's having a good time. Everybody's celebrating Kim Jong-un. Well, maybe not everybody. What I didn't see in there, and if you go look, I didn't see anything with the pleasure squads. You know, the pleasure squads they have, and I don't know if any of the women that were in the hype video there were part of the pleasure squad. You know what that is, right? So Kim Jong-un each year handpicks, and I think there's some rollover, like a couple dozen what they call pretty girls for his pleasure squad. So I first heard about this. Yeonmi Park, she was on with Rogan years ago. That woman who escaped North Korea, she talked about it, and now there's been more reporting on it, that Kim Jong-un picks 25 virgin girls every year for his pleasure squad. Hold on. Can we do this? Can I have some audio while we do this? Do I have to do this cold? Can you give me something in the background? Okay, thank you. All right, good. All right. So he picks them from the people. It said, let's see. Every year, 25 virgins picks for his pleasure squad. Notably, the women are picked based on their looks and political loyalty. Park also revealed that she was scouted twice for Kim's pleasure squad, but was not selected due to her family status. She went on to say that they visit every classroom and they go to even schoolyards in case they miss someone pretty. So the government officials go out scouting for these girls. I don't know if they're women yet, girls, for Un. I love this song. So once they find pretty girls, the first thing they do is check into their family status and political status. They eliminate any girls with family members that have escaped from North Korea. or have relatives in South Korea or other countries. So they do that. Then she says, once the girls are selected, they're made to go undergo medical examinations to ensure that they are intact. During the test, quote, even the smallest defect, like a minor scar, would lead to disqualification. After rigorous testing, only a few girls from across North Korea are then sent to Pyongyang, where their sole purpose is to gratify the dictator's desires. I don't know what verse that's in this song. They said the squad is divided into three distinct groups, with one trained in massage, the other one performing songs and dances. Hear that? And the third group, they're intimate with the dictator and other men, that surround the dictator. So there you go. As we celebrate Kim Jong-un. Oh, man, those ladies right there, they are too old to be in the pleasure squad. So there you go. If you get a chance over on the Twitter or the X feed at FM Talk 106.5, watch the video. Give me your reaction. I don't know if any of them that are in this video are part of the pleasure squad of Dear Leader, but there it is. So, yeah, but the ridiculousness is that South Korea, that must not have a sense of humor either, is worried that this video, when you go watch, is going to make their South Koreans go, gosh, you know, it'd be much better if we were in North Korea. We got to get there. Get up to North Korea anytime we can. So, something to watch. All right. The Juneteenth thing, I talked about this at the beginning of the show as well. Mike Kaysen's story from AL.com. It seems like we talk about this every year. Juneteenth will again be a state holiday in Alabama this year. Announcement from Governor Ivey yesterday. Juneteenth, which commemorates the end of slavery in America, will be recognized on Wednesday, June 19th this year. Ivey declared Juneteenth a state holiday each year since 2021. Alabama lawmakers have proposed bills to permanently add the date to the list of state holidays, but those have not passed. I mean, is that too much of a stretch, legislature, for all the other holidays we got going on here? Hey, we can talk about those a whole lot more when we come back. 343-0106. I'm going back to watch this video again. You should do the same.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1250 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday. And maybe I misheard it, and they'll rework that story. The news update that just came through from WKRG, y'all, it's not 7.9 million pounds. I think we're at 683,000 pounds for snapper season this year. Sorry to be the fisherman on the radio, but there it is. It's We'd be fishing forever at 7.9 million pounds. We had, in the past, had gone over a million, but now we were at like 570, and then the allocation that Congressman Carl talked about that he got done in appropriations, it brings us up around 683, somewhere in there, but not 7.9 million pounds. Be great, but not happening. All right, also mentioned Juneteenth, and the story here from Mike Kaysen, of course you find it elsewhere as well, Juneteenth will be recognized. Governor Ivey, since 2021, has recognized it as a state holiday, but it is not ensconced in law. The legislature has not passed this into. Let me point this out. I could go one way and say we got too many dang holidays, right? It's all, everything's a holiday. I get it. I could follow you there. But let's do some critical thinking here. Let's do some compare and contrast, and just say what's on the books as of now. What holidays do we have on state? You know, there's federal holidays and then there's state holidays. So what state holidays do we have? And with them not being able to pass officially, and I don't know why. Members of the legislature, if you're listening, y'all are home. Can you let me know why we haven't passed some of these holidays? Let's see. Where is it? Let's see. I had this list up here. I don't know where I lost it to. I had a list of state holidays. Where they went, I don't know. I will find it. But there's a whole bunch of holidays here in Alabama that I would say, if you're going to argue and say, listen, we can't have another holiday, then get rid of one that's already out there, right? If we can't, can we not? Is it too much in the legislature with all the other important work they're doing? Juneteenth is solid. That's a solid holiday. And they can't get this done. But yes, I guess it's good that Governor Ivey's recognizing it again. There it is. All right. Thank you. There's the list. I don't know where it had gone, but I have it up now. All right. So New Year's Day. Okay. I'm down with that. The one that bothers me incessantly is the split holiday of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert E. Lee's birthday. They actually should be on separate days. You want to do that? Why combine them? I know why they combined them. It's a legacy here. I think it's disgusting. Mardi Gras, of course, not all over the state, but down here. Yep. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson's birthday, so President's Day thing, right? That's the 19th. April 22nd, state of Alabama, Confederate Memorial Day. The 27th of May, National Memorial Day, coming up. Okay. Which, by the way, I know you like to party and everything, but it is a solemn holiday. June 3rd, Jefferson Davis's birthday. These have all been passed, and these are like, the law is passed. Wednesday, June 19th, Juneteenth, but of course that is just by executive decree. It's not the law. 4th of July, Labor Day, Columbus Day, and Fraternal Day and American Indian Heritage Day. Why they have to share that one, I don't know either. Veterans Day, all right, November 11th. And then Thanksgiving, I guess the other story was that they're going to recognize the day after. Black Friday is now going to be a holiday in the state. So if Black Friday, if the day after Thanksgiving, if the shopping holiday is ensconced as a state holiday and you can't get Juneteenth to be anything but an executive order, explain that one to help me, members of the legislature. Help me. All right, let's go to the phones. And David is in Mobile and up next.
Sean, I've got the perfect way to get for the Mobile area legislators to get Juneteenth pushed through as an official state holiday.
Okay.
And that's they need to connect it, Mobile to the creation of the Juneteenth holiday. And what I mean by that is this. Gordon Granger, who was the Rock of Chickamauga earlier in his career, was basically General Canby's right-hand man in the Mobile campaign. As a matter of fact, Granger was the first Union general to set foot in the city limits of Mobile when the mayor was down near Brooklyn surrendering the city to Canby. Granger actually traveled up the river and docked at Government Street and rose the American flag up and was the first Union general to set foot in the city after the surrender. He stayed in Mobile all the way through the magazine explosion, which would have been after the surrender at McGee Farmhouse and Citronelle.
So he was at McGee? He was at the Lost Appomattox?
Lost Appomattox, and he was at Citronelle. And then, of course, the magazine explosion was after that. Granger led the recovery and rescue efforts immediately after the explosion. And then sometime after that, before June 19th, obviously, he hopped on a boat and headed over to Texas because
that's how he got to Galveston, right? Because that's the start of this, June 19th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he got on a boat and headed. Of course, he stopped over in the district headquarters in New Orleans for a little bit. Deposited Octavia Walton Levert, who had to evacuate the city after that because of her Union sympathies. But that's a whole other story.
Levert, yes.
And then went on to Galveston because Canby is actually the only Union general to ever accept the surrender of two different Confederate armies. Obviously, the one Richard Taylor's army at McGee Farmhouse, and then Kirby Smith's army in Texas. And it was during that surrender process that Granger read the Emancipation Proclamation to the recently freed slaves in Galveston, which is the historically recognized origin of the Juneteenth holiday.
I'll be darned. Well, there we go. We got a link here to Mobile. You know, we like that. Mobile, we like a link to Mobile to whatever we're talking about.
Exactly. And since now that you can connect the Juneteenth to the state of Alabama and specifically Mobile, now you can convince all those Alabama legislatures that it's a good thing for Alabama to have the Juneteenth state holiday.
You know what? If we didn't have any, you know, except like Thanksgiving and Christmas and Independence Day on there, I'd say, you know what? We're not adding more stuff in, right? I can have the holiday austerity message, but we got a whole bunch of other stuff that's in.
Well, you know,
and they can't codify Juneteenth in the mix.
Yeah, and it's I agree with you. It's the right thing to do. But when's the last time that a legislative body ever did anything because it was the right thing to do?
Mm, that's Okay, they didn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good, David. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, and Chance here before we wrap up, too. You're on the other day talking about your World War I book, talking about Alabamians and others in World War I. How did they find that book?
It's on Amazon for pre-order right now, and it will be available come June 3rd, which is my birthday and the book release day, at local bookstores like the Hana Bookstore and other local independent bookstores as well.
Very good. Thank you, David, for the call. Appreciate it. Leaves the line open at 343-0106. Coming back, too, after the break, April Marie Fogel will join us, and she's going to be filling in on Friday, too, so we'll talk about that going forward. Yes, is somebody else asking? No, it's not 7.9 million pounds for snapper season. It would be something, but that is not true. Oh, and as we talk about snapper, I don't know, this is not too big of a move here. Red lobster, you know, the red lobster saga has been going on for like, I don't know, like 2 months or something, that they're seeking bankruptcy protection. I don't know how they ever made it here, but, you know, they got a lot of other places where they don't have seafood like we do. But it said Red Lobster, the casual dining chain that brought seafood to the masses with inventions like popcorn shrimp and endless seafood deals, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Well, it's probably the endless seafood that did them in. The 56-year-old chain made the filing late Sunday, days after shuttering dozens of restaurants. Is the one closed here on Airport or not? Do y'all know? Red Lobster said its 600 restaurants would continue to operate through the bankruptcy proceedings, which are intended to simplify operation. Is it? Dalton says it's go. It's on. It's closed. So that one is shuttered. See. All right, there you go. Yeah. No more whatever the cheese biscuits and all that stuff and all the Massachusetts imagery. We'll just have to go back to eating our local seafood. How about that? Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.